We will learn about a project to map important Ho-Chunk and Indigenous sites on the UW-Madison campus and the Isthmus. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's check in on our last day of this winter member drive that is headed for a strong finish. I'm here with Lee Rayburn. Hi, Lee.
Good morning, Kate.
And we're here to say your gift of any amount makes a big difference.
Final day of the drive. Procrastinators, pay attention. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that means your support funds the morning show, as well as all the other WPR shows that you count on. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much if you've already given. Right now, this is the cool deal. We have a dollar-for-dollar match on this home stretch up to $3,500. So, yes, this generous match is from current members, including a member in Washburn, and it means that they'll match every dollar you give.
So double it up. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, and you can double your support for the programs you love by giving now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We do appreciate all sources of funding for public radio to keep the public in public radio, but it is voluntary listener contributions that are really the biggest piece of support for WPR programs.
See if you sense a theme here. You make the difference. You make the quality because WPR matters to you. This is about you. Make a personal contribution to pay for the programs that you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you support WPR, it is an investment that gives back, whether it's in the reliable news, whether it's in the talk conversations on the Ideas Network, whether it's in the music that really soothes you. In that sense, your gift to WPR is really a no-risk investment. So if you've never given before, become our next new member right now.
We could use you because listener support is the largest piece of the funding that makes the programs that you enjoy every day possible. A really simple equation. We're here because you're here, both as a listener and as a donor. So make your first ever gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the last day of our winter member drive, and we have an exciting drawing. You'll be entered to win $500 to spend at your favorite sporting goods store when you make a gift of any amount for the WPR programs you love. You'll have five chances to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. You can see all the rules at WPR.org/drawing. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Ooh, here is how. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you depend on, and it's why your support during this winter member drive is really critical. It's a critical piece. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. It'll be matched dollar for dollar. If it's $100 a month, it's going to be matched. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And we have made it as easy and quick as possible. We know you value your time, and we value your time too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio will just take a few minutes. Tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It is really quick. It is really easy to do. And your gift now, it absolutely helps in these final hours of the winter drive. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Less than 50 minutes left with our dollar for dollar match, and we have about $3,500 left to raise, doubling your donation today. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
We do not want to leave a penny of match money on the table. You can support the programs you value, and you can show off your WPR pride when you ask for the new WPR mug. Give $10 a month or more and ask for yours at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
Please consider becoming a sustainer. It's easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card without having to think about it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and provide reliable support for the programs that you cherish.
I want to give a shout out to Raven in Wausau, who says, "You are a light in the dark."
Oh.
Wow, profound. Fred in Middleton says the level of quality reporting is best on WPR. Thank you, Raven. Thank you, Fred. Your gift right now is so important. At WPR.org, get it matched, 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support. Now, the land in the Madison area and the UW campus sits on the traditional homelands of the people of the Ho-Chunk, and much of this history, much of it has been erased. A self-guided digital tour is in the works to mark important sites and oral histories that have not been fully acknowledged due to the ongoing legacy of colonialism. It's called Mapping Dejo. The word in the Ho-Chunk language means four lakes. So if you went on an Indigenous site tour in your community, what would you want to learn? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 for conversation. Casey Keeler is an assistant professor of civil society and community studies and American Indian studies at UW-Madison. She is an enrolled tribal citizen of the Tuolumne Band of Miwok Indians, and she leads the Mapping Dejo project. Casey, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, if you wouldn't mind, can you tell us in your own words what the Mapping Dejo project is all about?
Sure. So I've been here at the University of Wisconsin now for 4 years, and during that time, I have taught a large Intro to American Indian Studies class. And in that class, we predominantly have new freshmen who have just arrived at the University of Wisconsin, and I've really seen a need for students to connect to the region, the area, the landscape around them here in Madison in a very accessible manner. So my interests, my background and interests are about placemaking and identity and place names and how we think about Indigenous histories of place. So during my time here, I've really thought about how can we make this Indigenous history of Madison and the presence in the area around us of Native people more accessible. So in the last year or so, I have worked on putting my thoughts together and applying for grants to support a digital mapping project so that not only students at UW-Madison can access Indigenous histories and presence of the UW campus and the surrounding Madison area, but also folks from outside the university community.
You know, I take walks out to Picnic Point to clear my head a lot and, you know, just sit next to the water. And I really appreciate that the lakeshore path has that chain link fence and that says to stay off the ancient burial mounds. But I'm always wondering, like, what more can I know? There isn't more that it says beyond that. And I feel like maybe that is one aim of your project that could help really fill in those gaps.
Absolutely. We know that signage is really important in marking specific sites, but we're always limited with signage to that one point in time. Mm-hmm. Whereas something like a digital map or an app that folks can access on their phone while they're out on the landscape, it's a living entity so that it can continuously be updated as needed, providing more information as it comes in. And then people have their phone right at their fingertips. So if they see something that sparks interest, they can also dig in more. So our digital app or map will be providing also links to additional resources for folks to do that deep dive in learning more of the particular areas that they're interested in.
One of the sites for the project is well-known Camp Randall Stadium. What do people who visit this stadium in mass, what are they missing about Camp Randall's history and what that site is?
Right. So new to the Camp Randall Stadium in 2016 was the Ho-Chunk Nation Plaza. So the Ho-Chunk Nation Plaza is signage, and it's located on the northwest kind of entrance area to Camp Randall Stadium, right off of Breeze Terrace. So folks that enter Camp Randall through that area will pass under the Ho-Chunk Nation Plaza. So it's a big sign in red. It's very hard to miss if you enter in that area. So this symbolizes the relationship and partnership between the Ho-Chunk Nation and the University of Wisconsin. In order to receive that signage or the plaza, the Ho-Chunk Nation donated money, about $2 million over the course of 5 years, to the University of Wisconsin for those specific naming rights that then also come with certain access rights as well. So I think that's important because it's so visible. If we think about how many folks attend a Wisconsin Badger football game on any given Sunday or Saturday during the fall, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of people are passing under that plaza. So that's a good reminder of whose land we're on and the Native community members who are still in this region.
But I mean, also ironic that, you know, giving naming rights, but the naming rights originally are these Native inhabitants who were there first. I mean, there's a tricky relationship there.
There is. And I think a lot of the goal of this digital project is to kind of push back on colonialism and to really question what we've been taught and what we think we know about this area that we call Madison today.
The American Indian Student Cultural Center is also part of the project. Why is the student center different from other student centers on campus?
Right. So here at the University of Wisconsin, we have the American Indian Student Cultural Center, which is a physical building. It's an older home located at 215 North Brooks Street. So this is a space, a literal house for American Indian students, organizations, services, and events. And this differs from the other kind of identity centers on campus. And then it's located outside of the Red Gym. Mm-hmm. The Red Gym, of course, is right next to the Memorial Union. And the Red Gym houses the Multicultural Student Center, where most of the other identity centers are located.
Casey Heeler with us, researches and teaches on American Indian communities and histories with emphasis on land, on policy, on placemaking. She leads the Mapping Des Jopes project. What do you want to know about the Native history in Madison area? How do you feel about attending a land grant institution and the implications to Native peoples? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up ahead with Casey Keeler here on the Ideas Network. We're learning about Project Des Jopes, the effort to map important Ho-Chunk and Indigenous sites on the UW-Madison campus and the Isthmus. It's part of a self-guided tour. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's go to the final day of our winter member drive. I'm here with Lee Rayburn, and we're here to say that your gift of any amount makes a huge difference.
And that's because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. And that means that your support funds this program, The Morning Show, as well as all the other WPR programs you count on. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here's a cool push incentive. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including a member in Washburn. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 to $200, and you get the picture. Take advantage of this match in these final hours. Double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now. Take advantage of the match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Because on the Ideas Network, you hear from the primary source. You hear from the person who wrote the bill, who wrote the book.
Or the bill.
The person who has the unique expertise. You hear from them all. And we're glad to seek these people out and get them on the show. Privileged, in fact. And it's your support that makes it all possible. So make great radio happen right now with us, with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustainer. As a sustainer, you make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
And many people give $10 or $20 a month. You choose whatever amount is right for you. Become a sustainer today, right now, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR gets you through the day, kind of like a cup of coffee. This member drive ask for the new WPR mug when you give $10 a month. Your WPR pride will be on display with every sip. This white ceramic mug features a navy design that showcases two Wisconsin favorites, nature and WPR. Ask for yours when you give $10 a month. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. It's your support during this winter member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, it'll be matched. And whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
That's right. And if you've already renewed or make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you so much. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are the backbone of what we do here at WPR.
And if you haven't given just yet, join thousands of other WPR members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And make your contribution go twice as far. Our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. There's still room for your gift to be doubled, so give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And here's a bit more of a bonus, some sugar on top. For supporting programs you love, your donation enters you into this drawing. Five lucky people will receive $500 to spend at their favorite sporting goods store. No contribution necessary. You can see WPR.org/drawing for details. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount right now and get in on this match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you, and you're automatically entered.
Oh, you're not a sustainer? Well, then become one right now. We've made it as easy as possible for you to set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card online at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. And it's a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs that you love.
Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. Now, everyone who has lived on the UW-Madison campus or in the Isthmus area has been a resident of Dajope, the traditional homelands of the Ho-Chunk people. A digital story map is in the works to be more accurate and representative of this native history that long predates land-grant institutions and European settlers who took the land. What indigenous stories or perspectives are missing from the Wisconsin narrative and the education system? Conversation is here, 800-642-1234. Casey Keeler is an assistant professor of civil society and community studies and American Indian studies at UW-Madison. She leads the Mapping Dajope project. Casey, we heard from Lisa, who wrote in to say it is unforgivable that UW-Madison accepted millions of dollars from the Ho-Chunk Nation in order for the Ho-Chunk Nation to have naming rights to a plaza at Camp Randall. And UW-Madison should give that money back, Lisa wrote. That land was already stolen away from the Ho-Chunk, and they should get naming rights without paying for it. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think that's a really important perspective and something that we should all really think about when we think about the history of dispossession and the land that UW-Madison occupies, the land that was acquired in an 1832 treaty with the Ho-Chunk, which then led to their forcible removal from the state. The history of the University of Wisconsin as a land-grant institution further complicates that. I know a lot of institutions around the United States are working on reparations for Native people who have been dispossessed of their land. And that's one conversation I would really like to see the University of Wisconsin enter in terms of tuition waivers for Native students, and how to not only acknowledge these past wrongs, but work on righting them as well.
I want to circle back to one thing you just said there, which is land-grant institutions. UW-Madison is one of 52 land-grant universities in our country, about 11 million acres of Native land taken and used as endowments for these universities in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. What is that? Why is that history important to this project, and how do you demonstrate it?
Right. So the land grant institution was set up through the Morrill Act of 1862, which passed, of course, during the middle of the Civil War. So the land grant institution opened up public domain lands to universities to sell to further their educational models, particularly through endowments. So many of these institutions that were created or adopted the land grant institution model have millions of dollars sitting in their endowments today through the sale of public domain lands, which was native land that had been stripped away. So until recently, land grant institutions have really been celebrated in terms of making education more accessible, furthering agricultural missions. So here at the University of Wisconsin, we really know that agriculture is such a pillar of our state and our state identity. So the history of the land grant institutions here in Wisconsin really kind of intersects that history and pushes back in thinking agriculture for who, what does agriculture look like, who has access to these forms of education, and what land was used to further the land grant institution mission here in the state. So it's a really complicated history that myself and some other colleagues at the University of Wisconsin are really trying to dig into and provide resources to folks to learn more about this history, the land grant history at University of Wisconsin as well.
Something we haven't touched on in this project is the storytellers themselves. Can you explain what voices we might hear through the digital mapping and how that is coming together?
Right. So this project is just barely getting off the ground. And for me, the most important thing about this project was securing funds so that we could invite Native community members, Ho-Chunk community members in to share their story. Hmm. And something that is often lost is that folks often expect Native community members to participate in different events without compensating them for their knowledge and for their time. So the funding that I secured, a large part of that will go specifically to paying the Native community members to participate in this project and making sure that they're compensated again for their knowledge and their time, which is so important in doing this kind of work.
Casey, thank you for sharing this project with us.
You're very welcome.
Casey Heeler is an assistant professor of civil society and community studies and American Indian studies at UW-Madison. And News Update is next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us as we get a preview of the State of the Tribes address on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. First, let's talk about the winter member drive that it's in the final hours. We're reeling this in here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Lee Rayburn. We're here to say your contribution. It keeps the morning show and WPR going strong. $10 a month, $100 a month. Every gift in any amount makes a really big difference because the largest share of funding for WPR programs comes from you, people like you. Donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right, Kate. And with just hours to go in our winter member drive, we have a dollar-for-dollar match this hour that is in effect right now up to $3,500. And it's a great time to donate because current members, including a member in Washburn, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've been learning about the Mapping Dejo project that is getting off the ground, opening our eyes to Native history and efforts really underway to teach this history in a digital, accessible way. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from the morning show.
Yeah, fascinating. And WPR is listener-supported, and you're listening. That means that your donation to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, and then make your gift.
And once in a while, you actually do get more than you pay for, and WPR is one place where that is true every day. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
Hard to buy much lunch for just $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. Works out to $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Lance from Madison.
And I'm Cheryl.
When did we become sustaining members? Cheryl, I'm trying to remember. It's been quite a while.
I would recommend it because it's so simple to do. We have an electronic funds transfer done. It's easy to change that annually if you need to. It's something that you don't have to think about. I can just think, okay, that's taken care of. And we feel like we're doing the right thing by supporting something we use a lot. WPR is something we really believe in. We want it to continue, so we want to support it.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
That's right. Go to WPR.org to get started now or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. Your support of Wisconsin Public Radio right now keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month or whether you set it at $100 a month, we appreciate it. It's going to be matched dollar for dollar, and we really count on your gift.
So you've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make the decision to support WPR financially.
Indeed. Put that together. Member contributions, they power the programs you rely on. So your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It supports your future listening.
We have this dollar for dollar match in effect that'll double whatever you do. We have about $1,000 left to raise this hour, so give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support for WPR will go twice as far.
And you can support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the new WPR mug. Give $10 a month or more and now and ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer yet, consider becoming one right now. It's easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you cherish.
Heard from John in Sauk City, who listens to the morning show, enjoys Larry around lunch. John says Chapter a Day in the mix, and Rob on Central Time. Lots of great programming on WPR. John says, thank you so much. Your gift is now so important at WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. Now for a preview of the 18th Annual State of the Tribes Address set for tomorrow in the Assembly Chambers of the Capitol. The address started in 2005, and each year, the Great Lakes Intertribal Council, they select a member to give it. President Shannon Holsey will provide remarks, and WPR will carry her speech live at 1 tomorrow. And she leads the Stockbridge Muncie Band of the Mohican Nation in central Wisconsin. She was elected to her fourth term as president last year. President Shannon Holsey, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me.
Good morning. So as you think about your address and you write that address, what is the greatest challenge facing Native tribes in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, I think the tribes themselves, because they are self-governing and individual sovereigns, we all have our challenges. But, you know, as we are going on almost year three of the pandemic, of course, a lot of those underlying challenges really and the vulnerabilities of them really surfaced. And so, you know, tribes are just sort of trying to just wrap their heads around it internally as some of the largest. I think there are 9 of the 11 tribes that are the largest employers in our respective counties, trying to find balance with our workforce, but yet trying to balance the safety of our employees and, of course, our citizens, and trying to manage those things. You know, and as you see the pandemic unfold, you can see that obviously because of the uncertainty of it and because, you know, it's fear, there's fear associated with it. We are seeing a significant amount of mental health issues that are starting to rise. And so we're trying to find ways to provide resources to people and to assure them that we're going to continue our pathway forward. And tribal nations, unlike a lot of other communities, have really taken this pandemic very serious in terms of we really engaged in the science of it, and we tried to follow very closely the CDC guidelines, and we really tried to implement health and safety for our employees, many of us through multiple shutdowns and different things. So it is not without challenge, especially when you have several closures. You're the largest employer. You're trying to instill confidence and order and trying to do all those things all at once.
I'm hearing that these vulnerabilities are very much ingrained in the pandemic, frontline workers, mental health. And in recent State of the Tribes addresses, we've heard about the devastation of the opioid crisis, violence against women, the missing and murdered Indigenous women, cases that don't get investigated. When you look at all of these competing major issues, how does our state take positive and meaningful steps forward to addressing them?
Well, you know, fortunately for us, we have right now an administration that's extremely engaged. And there was, under the Doyle administration, there was an executive order with regards to consultation with tribal nations who are not necessarily, we are not sub-sovereigns to the state, but we consider ourselves governments to governments. And so during that process, you consult on all matters that are associated with the trustee responsibility. So we've had ongoing discussions with our governor and his administration, and of course the people that are tasked with that. And we make sure that there is continuation of that. And he upheld that order last fall also during December with his cabinet secretaries to reaffirm that. So we engage the administration very frequently about things that concern us or matter most to us. And if there are challenges to that, we make sure that there is reach out to the specific area, and then we try to navigate that. For example, as the onset of the pandemic, we were very concerned at some point with initially the testing of the virus and the resource needed to it. And then, of course, as it shifted, the vaccination itself. So there was a cross coordination between Department of Health Services and IHS and the governor's office, and then the coordination of making sure that, one, we continue to offer surveillance of testing, because in my community, we require our employees to be tested twice a month to determine the environment that we're working in. And then, of course, the idea of vaccinations when they became available. And fortunately for us, through those coordinated efforts and relationship, we were able to get the vaccinations very early on through that coordinated effort, and not only offer them to our employees in our nation, but to your point, frontline staff, teachers, law enforcement officers, or anybody that would need them. Because, you know, Native American communities don't think of themselves in an individual way. It's always a very collective, community-centric perspective. So we wanted to make sure not only our community was protected, and our employees and their spouses, but our community at large.
We're talking with Shannon Holsey, who is president of the Stockbridge Muncie Band of the Mohican Nation in central Wisconsin, and who will deliver the State of the Tribes address tomorrow at the Capitol. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Switching gears here away from the pandemic to the spiritual animal, gray wolves. Last September, we saw six Wisconsin tribes who sued in federal court to stop Wisconsin's wolf hunt. About 2 weeks ago, a federal court returned gray wolves as a federally protected endangered species. Do you think this protection eliminates concerns among tribal communities about species preservation?
I don't think so, because I think as Indigenous people, we don't believe in the inheritance of Mother Earth, and there are creation stories around, especially our ecosystem and especially the wolves, in terms of the perception of what they are. And they're considered not only clan animals, but they are of us, but they're considered our brothers and sisters. And so, you know, when you hunt the wolf, you know, prospectively, there's a strong relation that's tied to that, to our culture and our traditions. So it's as though you're hunting us in a sense, so contextually. So, you know, they're very They're very connected. We're very connected to them. And we've always done things in a very stewardship and managed way. You know, we're very mindful of that. And especially with a wolf, because a wolf isn't something that people necessarily hunt for purposes of sustenance. Indigenous people typically only will hunt an animal if there is a need for its use. And so typically that isn't something that happened in this instance, and especially because it turned out the way it did with the idea that they not only hunted during a time of breeding season, but then the overhunting of the animal was very concerning to all of us.
We would learn about that relationship between Indigenous people and wolves through school, possibly through education. Wisconsin requires Native American content to be taught in the K-12 system. It's on the books in Act 31. How do you feel about how Act 31 is being carried out in Wisconsin and what is being taught?
Well, I think it's an evolution, right? Act 31 is it's getting quite old, and I know that there's been acute resource put to it in terms of that, but I think it's just a challenge, because when you look at even the textbooks that are currently in a lot of public school systems, they predate the 1900s, and so that there's invisibility, and so that the Native American populations don't exist, even though we know that there are 11 federally recognized tribes in Wisconsin, and there are more than 580 federally recognized tribes in the United States. You know, it's sort of like one of those things, the invisibility behind that. So it's always reteaching, right? And of course, then you're talking about our public school system and the challenges they have compounded by that. So I think, you know, Act 31 is a really good start. I know DPI has a repository where you can find materials, but in this day and age, I would think as an educator, I would find it extremely challenging for a number of reasons. And then you compound a pandemic, and you compound the challenges that teachers have in terms of just managing their daily life with their classrooms and all the different challenges they have. You know, I mean, I think when we look at the state of Wisconsin or the state of our future, we can't do that without looking at the state of education. And that really requires us to look at it critically, even from a resource perspective, beyond just teaching historical and relevant history. I think we have to look at the investment we're going to choose to make. I know that there has been discussion. I know I read in the Washington Post a couple of weeks ago about the determination or the perceived concern about an exodus of public school teachers because of the exasperation of the pandemic, but all of the things that these school teachers are expected to do, and the way that we pay them, and the way that we value them. And it's a very, I would imagine that it's a very highly stressful job. My husband works in special education, so I do understand the unique challenges that these teachers face. But I think in Wisconsin, if we're going to look at a healthy, thriving, surviving Wisconsin in terms of being a force, a labor force, an industrious force, we really have to look at the state of our education and determine how we're going to invest in that institute, because that's foundational. You know, so we have to really consider how we're going to look at that moving forward.
And considering, too, when only 0.3% of teachers in Wisconsin are Native American, I would imagine, too, is how do we get better representation of Native American teachers in schools?
Absolutely. You know, and then always, you know, understanding, I agree. I think there needs to be diverse representation in all schools, because I think the world vastly is changing. I mean, even when you look at the makeup of Wisconsin and its demographic of the past census, you can see that, you know, a majority of people are at the age of 65 and older, or at least a third of them, where they're starting in their the sunset of their careers, and they're starting to move towards retirement. And then a third of the population are young people. And then there's that working force of the additional third. So when you look at that, I mean, it's totality, and almost 51% of that population consists of women. Minorities are growing. We really have to look at that, because I think it matters. I think to have strong representation then creates that diversity of critical thinking and that exposure to it.
President Holsey, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, as always. And thank you for all you do, too. I think creating balanced news and broad perspective is something we all need.
Shannon Holsey, president of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of the Mohican Nation, providing the 18th annual State of the Tribes address tomorrow at the Capitol. And we will have live coverage of her address tomorrow on WPR.org and at WPR beginning at 1. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. You're with us for The Morning Show, and it is the Winter Member Drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. Final hours. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Lee Rayburn, and we are just kind of just reeling this in, if you will, right? That's kind of what I feel like, Lee.
Exactly.
We're here to say that listener support is the largest piece of the funding here. So your gift now of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes WPR the reliable station that it is, with programs you appreciate every day. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just hours to go in our winter member drive, and we did have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect for this hour from current members, including a member in Washburn. But thanks to you, we blew that dollar-for-dollar match right out of the water.
Nice.
That is no reason for you not to continue to participate, become a member, and join us now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we've been talking about the State of the Tribes address, something that WPR is heavily invested in broadcasting, and we got a preview there of what President Shannon Holsey will prepare for us tomorrow. Thinking critically about these topics and really understanding the layers, you know, these are the kinds of valuable conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
And who do we have to thank for this? Well, I mean, Kate. Thanks, Kate.
Yeah.
But also the listeners, because WPR is listener supported. And that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, that's what makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So just choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Got a mug
oh,
that
yes.
You can get. It features a navy retro sunshine pine tree design, a bold shout out to Wisconsin Public Radio and the logo. Support WPR with your gift of $10 a month or more right now and ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I spent money at a silent auction thinking I wouldn't win, and I did, and I won art that was honestly a little creepy.
From creepy art to lemon cars, we've all made questionable decisions about how we spend our money. So it might be time to make a few smart ones. You can start by supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR. So make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. Nothing creepy here. Give it WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Dust the cobwebs off your membership. Goodness sakes. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Lee Rayburn. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And it's why your support during the final hours of our winter member drive is super critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And we had a dollar-for-dollar match on the table, but that has been met now this hour. It was made possible by a member in Washburn along with other current members. And it's just a reminder for you to become a member today while there's still time in this winter member drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, I love the past tense there. That's great. At WPR, we have this core group of supporters who continue to give and give and give generously, and they willingly contribute because they depend on this vital resource like you do. And maybe you rely on WPR in the same way, and for whatever reason, you just haven't given yet.
So that's why we're here to tell you now that WPR relies on new donors, just like you. We rely on you to grow and to keep high-quality programs on the air. So that makes today the day to show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make a contribution today.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's super easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's a really great way to provide the ongoing support for the programs you love.
Kay in Milwaukee says, I listen to NPR programs and WPR to get an in-depth analysis of the factual news. Kay, we thank you and everybody else for listening. Your gift is powerful. It makes a huge difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.